Isn't it exhausting being held responsible for things you can't control?
Or feeling like your voice is unheard until everything falls apart?
Imagine this, family. Imagine if you could leverage your expertise in a way that you are truly respected. Because I can imagine you're tired of being the last to know about critical project details with no clues. You're like, where are you going with this, ED? You know, one of the things that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, is many times as a project manager, you can become very irritated. And when you're irritated because most of the time it has something to do with the respect that you should have received or you should be receiving. And many times it has to do with things that are out of your control that you wish you could control. And then last and finally, it takes us into point number one, which is you're perceived as useless. Oh, that's a strong word. You see, misconceptions about the role of project management can lead to undervaluing your contribution. Future project managers, current project managers, present project managers, I should have said, future and present project managers, I never want you to feel that you're useless. I never want you to have that feeling that your contributions are not being valued. If they're not being valued, then you know what you need to do at that point. But a lot of times what ends up happening is the reason why a project manager gets frustrated is because of the simple fact of it's the perception of their feeling that they're not being utilized properly, or there's chatter, as they say, at the water cooler about, why is this project manager even here? So here's my actionable tips. Quantify your impact by tracking metrics like cost saving, time efficiency, and risk reduction. Share these metrics with your stakeholder to demonstrate your value clearly and consistently. Point number two, being judged on only the last project you delivered. You know, one of the things about when you have success as a project manager, you're only as good as your last project. Okay, let me slow that down. What I mean by you're only as good as your last project, if you've had success and you brought that project home and you've done extremely well, the same expectations, and probably even more, are going to be put on you. So I don't want you to get nervous. I don't want you to get concerned as, man, if I'm having success, then what if I just go ahead and just have a bunch of failures so I won't have to deal with that pressure? You want that pressure, family. This is how you're going to grow in your project management career. Success in project management can be fleeting, and the latest project often defines your reputation. And this is the major thing. A lot of project managers forget about this because you get on a roll, you're having success, but it's not about failure in a project. It's about how you responded and how you delivered the information that needed to be delivered on why the project failed. And success is not all about, of course, we want to complete the project on time, get it within budget and schedule and great quality. But a lot of times when projects either lose funding, how do you handle that and be able to articulate out to the team of the reason why and what are the next steps moving forward? Because at any point in the project, you still want to do a formal closure of the actual project. Here's my actual tips. Maintain a success portfolio that showcases completed projects and key learning. Family, this is so key for you. The reason why, especially for my new project managers, is because of the fact of it's going to help you develop that confidence when you run into a situation that either you had no control over of making the call on, or you did have control over and you were too slow to react. You're going to need to document that. And you're also, while you're documenting it, look at some of the successes you have, because this project management game is really about a confidence game. And this is why I always talk about imposter syndrome, or I talk about micromanagement, or I talk about all these things, because I know the importance of sometimes you could just be on cloud nine because of the success you've had on a previous project, and you walk into a project where there is nothing you could have done to make that project to have the success that you thought it should have had, but how do you respond? So also use this reference during project performance reviews when setting expectations for a future project. So reason why I recommend documenting your wins and putting them in a portfolio is because when it comes time for that performance appraisal at the end of the year, you have quantifiable stats and documents to be able to talk through your performance appraisal.
Point number three,
dealing with project managers with certifications but no real skill. Oh boy, okay, I'm gonna take my time with this, but I won't take too much. You know, the reason why I put this here, family, is because I've been guilty of this. I've been a project manager that I was more concerned about their certification than I was actually about getting the real skill set. And then to actually see and work with project managers that they were so caught up in the certification, learning the information, did everything, made the certain sacrifices that were required to get certified, and that's where it stopped. They never went back and picked up their PMBOK, or they never went back and picked up their Agile Practice Guide. And the reason why is why we're all guilty of this is because we're so excited about the opportunity of getting certified, whether CAPM, PMP, ACP, et cetera, you name it, but we forgot that we still need to continue to work on our practical competence. We need to continue to work on our skill set. We can't just stop there. We have to continue to make our skill set better. So certifications does not always equate to practical competence, which can impact project outcomes. This is why when someone comes to me and asks me, hey, which certification you think I should get in project management? My next question is, what are you trying to do with it? If this is something, if you're switching careers and you're trying to get a certification in project management, I would recommend getting with a mentor first so he or she can guide you on the best way to attack this project management thing, because it may be best in your situation because you have a lot of work experience that maybe you go in looking for a project management role, or it may be better that you go after the CAPM. But again, having a mentor, having a coach there to help guide you, because the different certifications are going to require something of you. And are you willing to know when to learn, when you learn this information, are you willing to go and apply it? Some people just love learning. This is why I always tell you, family, I'm going to give you today to think it over, tonight to think if you're going to make an action on it. But I'm hoping the next time you listen to this or you remind you of this, that you take action, that you execute, because it's important. It's imperative that you execute, because me doing this and putting these episodes together is really to help build your toolbox. You remember I always talk about the project management toolbox, building your toolbox of knowing when to deal with certain things on a particular project. So certifications won't teach you how to really lead projects in the real world, but it will build up your knowledge to have more tools in your tool belt or your toolbox to have a better success on leading a project. Here's my actionable tips. Offer practical training sessions or workshops to help bridge knowledge gaps, provide constructive feedback and mentorship to build a culture of continuous improvement. Point number four, micromanage from stakeholders. Listen, there's a constant oversight from stakeholders that can demoralize the team and slow the progress. One of the things I can't stand it is micromanagement, whether from stakeholders, from leaders, from anyone that's trying to micromanage. I always tell them, hey, if I'm on the project team and I'm part of a project team, I'm like, hey, all I need you to do is give me my task or my assignment. I'm going to go execute. If anything comes up, if I have any questions, I'll circle back with you. But of course, you have to develop that trust. So when the person circles back with you, if you haven't done the thing that you said that you're going to make a commitment to, this is where micromanagement starts happening. Or this is when, you know, stakeholders don't believe you because they've been burnt multiple times by people saying that they were going to do something, but they only sounded interested. They didn't make a commitment. And so that is a dangerous thing. So this is why when people start getting micromanaged, it's because of what happened to someone previously that they trusted to say, hey, I'm gonna go do that task. And then when you circle back, they say, oh, I forgot about it. Why didn't you remind me? You know, you're just like, why? I should have just did it my way to help you out. But anyway, I digress. Here's my actionable tips. Build trust by consistently delivering results and keeping stakeholders informed through regular status updates. Show how autonomy leads to higher productivity and faster outcomes. Point number five, managing unrealistic expectations. Listen, unrealistic expectations can lead to disappointment within the team, as well as overall project failure. Here's my actionable tips. Set expectations early and use visual project plans to communicate timelines, risk, and any potential trade-offs. Another one is have an honest conversation with what is achievable and engage stakeholders in solutions when challenges arrive. And also have another one that I was thinking of. If someone still wants you to meet an unrealistic timeline, you need to document, and I do mean document, all the risks and or issues that are going to be associated with this. And you need to be able to present that. You need to be able to articulate, hey, if we move this up 2 or 3 weeks earlier than expected, here are all the risks and here are the potential issues that have come along with it. Point number seven, the consistent follow-up before you get a response. Listen, every project manager, especially my new ones, you guys are going to experience this and you're going to say, what? No, seriously, though, family, it's going to be interesting because you're asking yourself, you told me that you're going to take this action item. You told me when you were going to deliver it. I send you a reminder just as a courtesy, like, hey, this is due in 2 days, just sending you a reminder. 2 days come around after that. You never even responded to me and say, hey, you know what, prior to that, I'm probably going to be running BB high, or this came up, or that is crickets. So a lot of times, you know, frustration, or I should say what irritates some project managers, is waiting for that critical response can have significant delays in progress. So here's my actionable steps or tips. Set a limit on the number of follow-ups before you escalate the issue. Hey, I have a three-rule escalation, meaning I'll send you a reminder, I'll send you another email, and I'll just send you I'm going to give you three opportunities, because at this point, and I'm not going to send it all through email, I may do one email if we have Slack or Asana or Teams or whatever the instant message is, I'm going to send that in the instant message as well. If I don't see anything, if I don't hear you say anything, then I'm going to send the final one probably through email, and that's it. And the next thing I'm doing, I'm escalating, because I've given you three opportunities and you haven't given me any type of response. So either you're ignoring me or you need help and you just don't know how to ask for help. Here's my last final actionable tip. Use project management software, project management tools for automated reminders and deadlines visible to everyone to create a sense of urgency. This is one of the things I loved about Smartsheet, even Asana, these two, I think monday.com has it as well, where basically if you have an actionable item assigned to somebody, you maintain it. However, a automatic email will be sent to that person until it's checked off. Point number seven, being informed about project details. Woo. See, this is one of the things about reason why I love project management, is because I'm always having to learn. Sometimes I have to learn faster than most, and sometimes I get an opportunity to learn by asking various questions. Sometimes I have to bring the work home and go over the information because there's certain IT terms I may not understand, or new technology that we have got. So I got to get up to speed with that. And getting up to speed with that is crucial in any project that you're leading. I'm not saying you need to be the expert, but because you have a subject matter expert, but you have to understand the questions to ask. That is key, family. If you don't know what questions to ask, they're not going to be volunteering to give that information out, especially if you're a new project manager. They're going to make you work for it. And you should have no problem with working for the information, because again, this is your subject matter expert. What I would do is I would pull them aside and say, hey, listen, you are the subject matter expert. There's going to be a lot of things that I don't know, probably a majority of things. So I'm going to lean on you. I'm going to trust you. I want to start by, you know, earning your trust. So you tell me what you need from me, and how can I make sure that you have the success that you're looking for on this project? That's easy. Here's my actionable tips. Implement a mandatory weekly project status meeting where each team member provides update. And my last and final one, additionally, create a shared digital space for real-time project information to ensure no one is left in the dark. Point number A, being held accountable for timelines out of your control. Listen, family, when you sign up for this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, accountability can really be very blurred. You know, project managers often take the fall for delays caused by others, because reason why that we take the fall is because the first thing that executives are going to say is, why didn't you escalate this? And if you say, I thought this person was going to do this, that I was trying to give them a chance, that that's unacceptable. You should have escalated this with a solution of the reason, first of all, the reason why you're escalating, and then the solution of how you're going to solve it. But just don't sit there and hope that this person is going to come through, even though, again, it's out of your control. But the, where you do have control at is being able to escalate. And so at the end of the day, when you've escalated and you've held people accountable and the project still fails, at least at the end of the day, when executives are looking at you or the PMO, they know that you've done everything possible. And if there's something else that you could have done better, you will be you're welcoming that conversation. However, you do understand that there's nothing else that you can do when it comes to timelines. So it's important, family, if someone that keeps promising you, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get it to you in, you know, a day, two, you just need to escalate it. It just don't even waste your time. Point, here's my actionable tips. Keep detailed project documentation, noting who's responsible for each task and when deliverables are due. You know the model here, documentation beats what? Documentation always beats conversation. Use these records and meetings to set the narratives based on facts, not assumption. And here's my bonus for you before I give you my transformational remarks. Managing a variety of personalities. Listen, one thing that is amazing about this thing called project management is that you have to learn different skill sets. And one of them is being able to manage, or I should say lead, different personalities. How do I work with this person that when I ask them a question, they're just passionate what they do. So how do I not get caught up in the passion and know that they have my best interest as well as they know that I have their best interest for success? Because you'll have people that are they'll get straight to the point. They're very curt. They may say some selective words, trying to really aggravate you in a sense. How do you handle that? Do you have the emotional intelligence to understand that it's about the mission? It's not about the minor stuff that is going on, the arguments and details, because we should be solving that. If we can't solve that as a team, that somebody on that team needs to leave, because all it's going to do is continue to disrupt the team. So dealing with different personalities or a variety of personalities, you'll learn over time how to speak and talk with different people. Here's my actionable tip. Use emotional intelligence to tailor your communication style. Organize team building exercises to improve understanding. Let me park here real quick, family. We did a team building exercise that was so amazing. It was basically, we went to a place where you had to, forgot what it's like, you were locked in this room. And then once you got out of that room, that it was like a whole little deal. It was, and I was on a team with a guy that he and I just didn't get along. But after that, we having to work together, we ended up really developing a bond. And then I got to know him a little bit better. And I was like, man, why do you always create all these obstacles? And then he gave me some more backstory and we became the best of friends. Point I'm trying to make is that team building exercise, I know some people think, oh, they don't work. They work if people make the commitment and not the interest to do it. I would also recommend scheduling one-on-one sessions to address any individual concerns. Here's my top three transformational recommendations. Perception that project managers are useless. What I recommend is quantifying your impact by tracking metrics like cost saving, time efficiency, and risk reduction. Number two, dealing with project managers with certification but no real skills. I told you, I was that project manager. When I got my CAPM, I thought I knew everything about project management. Boy, was I so wrong. And so it's just one of those things, is that when you get certified, especially if you get certified with the CAPM, be humble enough to learn from somebody that may not have a CAPM or a PMP or any PMI certification, but they know how to do the job. They know how to lead a project. And there's a lot there that you can learn. Being able to receive and provide constructive feedback and mentorship is going to be key for you. Number three, consistent follow-up before getting a response. Like I said, family, I got a three response rule. If I send you three responses, or I send you three emails, whether I should say email or instant message or a call, and I don't get anything, I set my limit at three. After that third one, I'm escalating to executives or to your direct manager. Family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means it. If you have it, as you can see, pick up your book, The Magnetic Project Manager. Would do it. You know, I don't ask you guys for much. So The Magnetic Project Manager, I'll leave the link for you guys to go check it out. If you got questions for me, I even got a link for that. Any episodes you would like for me to record, or you want to know more about this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management,